The things that we do better be in the name of Jesus. How many believe that? Well, I hope to be able to come before you today to preach the Word of God, and we do so in His name. If you have your Bibles, you remember the day when everybody brought a Bible to church? It's not a bad habit. We got help here. It ain't even working today, is it? We're going to have the scripture up there, all right? Okay, all right. Mike jumped up when I said it ain't up there. But anyhow, nothing wrong with having the real thing. I know a lot of people, these younger people, they got the cell phones and iPads and all that stuff. But I'm too old for that. I want just the old word of truth myself, and it'll get me by. You know. It'll see me through the rest of my life. But either way, be sure it is the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with bringing a hard copy with you. Good habit, absolutely. Today we're going to be reading from the Gospel, from the book of Romans, St. Paul's book of Romans. We will read some of the Gospel, but Romans in chapter 12. Just two verses today. Romans chapter 12, and I can't read about these, and that's a fact. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, speaking to God's people, amen, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says, brethren, Christians in Rome or in Camden, Tennessee, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I want to speak to you today and give you a warning about the dangers of blending in. The dangers of blending in with the world. You know, that's something we have to be on guard, and the Word of God gives a warning against God's people getting caught up and trying to blend into the world. Can't we just kind of blend in and be anonymous? Can't we just blend in and halfway get along with this world system? No, you can't. It's not our home. We're pilgrims traveling through. There's a danger of us trying to blend in to the world system. We can't do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, we pray for your presence today to bring the Word of God into our hearts, to warn us, dear Lord, about conforming to the world's views and the world's standards, the world's system. Lord, help us to guard against blending in. And for those, dear Lord, who might be lost today, we pray the gospel would reach their hearts. Pray that you would revive the church, dear Lord, and call sinners to repentance. Bless your name, for it is a name above all names. Lord, bless your name in our presence, in Jesus' name, and amen. The dangers of trying to blend in to this present world system. You know, as Christians today, and Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, he's speaking to the church, to God's people today, we are somewhat rebels to the current world system. And we can't blend in. You know, peer pressure, the older we get, doesn't seem to bother us, but it is real. And sometimes God's people, we just kind of want to blend in, you know, just to get along and to blend in and to go along with things. But the Christian has a problem that, you see, we can't say Lord Caesar. We just can't. It's not all right to say that and really not mean it, you know. And those weak-kneed Christians in the early church, you know, some of them would maybe try to give in and say, well, it's okay, we don't really mean it. God knows in our heart we don't mean it. But they're destroying their testimony, and it's a danger. And the devout leaders of Jesus would not yield to the world powers and say, Lord Caesar. You know, in the Roman Empire, Caesar, whoever was at the helm, was to be considered a deity, you know. And you had to address him as Lord Caesar. And so there were some of those, again, weak-kneed Christians who were spreading false doctrine. And they said, okay, to get along, lest we offend the Roman government and Caesar, let's just go ahead and halfway say it to get along there. But those devout Christians wouldn't do it. Many of them died because they would not say Lord Caesar. And the reason they couldn't, because we serve the Lord Jesus. Amen? We can't declare that and come back and say, well, Caesar's Lord. You know, we can't simply blend in. We serve the Lord Jesus. We better be serving Him. In 2025, the Word of God warns us about the world system, whether it's from the Roman Empire or the present world system that we're headed down to globally, you know, globalization and all of these things working together. The Word of God and God's people, the prophets, the preachers, the Gospels, have all warned us about the dangers of blending in with the world systems. The world systems. The popular culture, you know. Again, the older we get, it doesn't have such a draw to us, but these are real challenges, maybe for younger people more so than for us older ones. You know, it doesn't matter that much to us. So for you younger people today, a word of caution, you know, be careful. You know, you cannot yield to world systems, meaning popular culture, meaning the manner of thinking that the world system has, which is in open rebellion to God and His authority. So how could we have communion with that? How could we blend in with a system which is in open rebellion against God? Now, the world has always and will always try to conform God's people to go along with the world system. They tried it under the Caesars, various different ones. You know, they tried to impose the worldviews upon God's people. And today, you know, it's been trying to work its way into academia, you know, our higher learning institutions and politicians and even in some liberal churches today, trying to get people to conform to the world. Well, let's go along. It's okay to have your faith, but in the meantime, we got to blend in. After all, we are in the world. Yeah, we're in the world, but we are not of this world. The Christian occupies a very unique position in this world. You really do. But we go back to our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham especially was a very wealthy man. But these patriarchs, they did not belong in this world. You know, they traveled around as nomads. Abraham, especially being a very wealthy man, never built a house, never settled down in a specific town. He had the money. He could have built a nice house, but they lived in tents, you know, and had sheep and cattle and stuff and goats and moved around and never found a permanent home because that is a type of a pilgrim, you know. The Bible says they look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Our Sunday school lesson today talked about how the disciples reflected on the beauty of the great temple there in Jerusalem, and Jesus said it won't last. Not one stone will be left upon the other. Things of this world are temporal. And the greatest in that temple did come down, by the way, in 70 A.D. Completely destroyed, utterly destroyed. And those who did not heed Jesus' warnings perished in that city with that destruction. This popular world system today, popular culture, its views will try to make you conform. Young people, you must be strong. You're going to be attacked from the education process, the news media. I don't watch the news anymore. I found that reading is not hardly doesn't offend me as much. You know, it really offends me when it's a person there with passion trying to make me change my mind about political things and all. I can sort of read it and go on over it, but I'm offended when they are so emotionally set upon trying to get you to buy in and to what? Conform to this world system. To be conformed. And the Bible says for God's people, resist that. And it's a warning. It's a warning. There has always been that pull, even in biblical times. 2,000 years ago, it was real. You know, it was something that God's people had to deal with. The Roman Empire there is big, powerful, and strong, and they are constantly trying to get God's people to conform to their ideology. All of those things. It is real today, you know. The only difference today is there's just more sources. There's more people. You know, the population of over 8 billion people is coming at us very fast and furious. And so we need to equip our young people. We are blessed to live in a rural area where we have some control over the education department, over our teachers. We have some good Carrie, when we go back to school, somebody? The 6th, another week or so, and we'll be praying here for our children who will be starting a new year. And my grandkids this week, they're so excited, you know, they find out who their teachers are and all of that. By the way, I also read yesterday that Shelby County is 300 teachers short in that school system down there. You know, the public school system, I'd say, in Shelby County and probably Davidson County, too, is not as friendly as what it would be for here. So we need to be thankful that we have people in our school system that we know and some control over it. But it will not always be that way as our children grow up and go on to higher learning institutions and things like that, you know, that they're not going to be as friendly. They are not, many of them will not try to just expose you to different doctrines, but they will try to convince you and to make you adopt their views of this world. Peer pressure is also another strong pull to this world. And so you might say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you at your age and all, and hey, we're sort of over that, and I don't realize that, but how are we to do this? Well, the Word of God gives us here How to resist? We are to resist being conformed to the world and its views. This process must be resisted. So you're somewhat of a rebel. You know, that may be not a popular term, but we rebel against the forces of this world and their ideology, popular culture, thoughts, because all of this is in open rebellion to God and His authority. So how can we blend in with such? So it puts us in a difficult position. We're in the world, but yet not in a part of it. We must survive. I guess you could say, as a child of God, you have somewhat of a dual citizenship. We're still somewhat citizens of this world. We're still here, ain't we? But our citizenship is in heaven. You know, so you retain a dual citizenship, and God has not just placed us here just to suffer and just to get by, but you can thrive. God has a way for His people to resist being conformed and to thrive, to not only just survive, but to be blessed. It is possible for you to resist all of these efforts by the world system and be blessed and have a prosperous and blessed life. Now, we play by a different set of rules. There are some things we can't do, you know. We have to resist that, but God will bless us. And He tells us here, so how are we to do this, you know? How are we not to give in when it's all around us, you know? Well, do not be conformed. What is that process? He said, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. The battleground. Listen to me, young people. Listen to this statement. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer. What you do with your mind. Resist conformity. Be a rebel to this world system, you know, and the thoughts and the culture of this world by focusing on God's Word and fellowship with Him. Your mind. Even the prophet Isaiah knew this. And way back in the Old Testament, the prophet said these words in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How can I have perfect peace when there's so much pressure all around us, especially as we're growing up and getting our feet on the ground and trying to make a life and to do, how do we live and conduct ourselves? The prophet said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind or thoughts is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Even then, the prophet said that God would keep us in perfect peace. And the key to that is the battleground is in your mind. And you must keep your mind on heavenly things whose mind is stayed upon thee. That's why it's important that you be familiar with the Word of God. I wouldn't want to be unable to quote the Lord's Prayer. I wouldn't want to be unable to quote the 23rd Psalm. I have to do it daily, many times. Have communion with the Lord, you know, think about, and what we think about, heavenly things. Keep your mind out of the gutter. Keep your mind above this world and its current system and think of heavenly things. It's possible to do that, even in a world that we live in. many years ago, I know we got some baseball fans here. Brother Rick is a fan. I used to be a real baseball fan growing up. Back in the day, I loved the New York Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals. And when the Yankees traded Roger Maris to the Cardinals, that really made my day. Roger Maris was my man. I loved him. I loved the players, all of those old players. I've since lost somewhat of interest in the game for a lot of reasons. But anyhow, there was a man by the name of Oral Hershiser. Any of you remember him? Pitched for the Dodgers, won a World Series, I believe. He was a pretty good pitcher. And that one year, he was so dominant in, I believe it was a World Series game, and he pitched a real masterpiece, you know. And these pitchers, when they're on a run and doing good, you know, nobody don't want to talk to him in the dugout. Don't interrupt him. He's in a run here. He's in a zone. You know, he controlled the strike zone. He was in rhythm. Everything was going perfect. And he completed the game and won it. But they had pictures of him just sitting there by himself. Nobody dare walks up. Say, hey, you're doing a good job. Everybody leave him alone. And they talked to him after the game. They said, well, what was he doing when you're sitting there thinking? He said, thinking about Scripture, quoting Scripture, thinking about the things of God. His mind was stayed upon the Lord. So even in that sitting there, and, you know, out there in the World Series, there is a man who has found a way to stay his mind upon God, and he is victorious. You can be too. He competed in the game. Some people would say it's a worldly game. You know, there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of things to go in it. But there is a way for God's people to compete. To be in the game. You can have a life and still stay your mind upon God. You can resist being conformed to this world system by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Transformed. In Colossians, in the letter to the church at Colossae, St. Paul wrote about this very same thing. You see, modern day Christians are not the first to meet these challenges. The things have always been. There's nothing new under the sun. There's just more people. The challenges may vary a little different today, but basically, it's always been this way. So the church at Colossae, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above you. Keep your head above. Wow. Boy, there's a lot of distractions in this world. Hey, you know, a coach would tell a player, keep your mind, keep your head in the game, you know. And Paul's saying to the Christian here, keep your head in the game. Keep your head in the things of Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Is it relevant to you at all in your life, your daily, day-to-day lives and activity? Is it even relevant to you that seated at the right hand of God, the throne of God, and it's a real place? It's not a fairy tale. There is a real throne of God somewhere in this universe. And seated at the throne of God is Jesus, which has that name above every name. You know what his business is there? To intercede for you. For you. That needs to be relevant in our lives. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Another word for affection is mind. Set your minds on things above and not on the things of this world. Hey, if Oral Hershiser can do that in between innings, you can do it in your life. These things can be implemented and will be of a great service to your Christian living and help for your growth and Christian development as we struggle through this world. And it's tough, but it's always been tough. The dangers of trying to blend in. There's always been a few people who's God's people who give in to the temptation, well, let's just blend in a little. Well, let's just say that Caesar is Lord Caesar. We don't mean it. God knows my heart. He knows we don't need it, but let's just go along. Just go along. The dangers of trying to blend in. Jesus warned and told the disciples, you're not going to be liked. It's not likely that the world is going to like you. So you need to get over that up front. In the Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 17 through 19, These things I command you that you love one another. That's not an option. That's a commandment. And it says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So don't get your feelings hurt if the world don't kneel at your feet. If they don't like you. Sometimes we think we want everybody to like us. It's not possible. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, if you were of the world, see, you're different. As God's people were. If you were of the world would love its own. Why do they hate you? Because you're not one of them. Now, if you were of the world, praise God we're not. Aren't you glad today that you're not a part of the world system that's in open rebellion to the authority of God? Hey, we may be that speckled bird, you know, but we don't learn to live with it. Jesus said they hated me before they hated you. And if you were of the world, then the world would love his own. So what's it going to take for the world to love me? To be partakers, to be one of them. You know, that's what it takes. You know, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There's a reason. There's a reason. Jesus talking here to the disciples, and by the way, all of them ain't listening. All of them are not listening. He prayed what we call the priestly prayer shortly before the cross, interceding for the disciples and for us, for those who believe on their testimony and through the Word of God. During this prayer, it's called the priestly prayer. Jesus praying to the Father for the disciples and His followers hereafter. John chapter 14, verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word. Christ has given us his word, folks, and the world hath hated them. Jesus said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. So if you think everybody's going to like you, get used to the fact they're not. They would love you if you was part of the world. The world hath hated them. Why is the world system against me? Because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. That's why they don't like us. That's why, you know, they don't like us. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth. We have the Word of God to help us and to encourage us through these struggles. Ye are not of the world. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. We've not yet completely overcome it, but by the grace of God, amen, we will get there. Until then, we got to keep our minds stayed upon God and His Word. We must meditate upon the Word of God. We must resist conforming. You know, sometimes we won't. Well, why can't we just blend in a little? Why do we have to stand out? So the dangers of trying to blend in. As Jesus said those words, and all the disciples got it, one in particular by the name of Judas Iscariot, you all know him, he is the epitome of the scoundrel of the world who betrayed Jesus. But as the story goes, it is Judas who decides to make his move, and the Bible tells a story about the chief priest and the scribes and all of these powers that be who are set on killing Jesus. The only problem is they fear the crowds, and they begin the scheme to work on his popularity. But yet they feared the crowds, and they just needed the right place and time to do it. Always a lot of people around. And into them marches a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. And he says, I can tell you how to make this work. You see, I'm an insider. I'm one of his disciples. I know his routine. I can tell you that a place where you can arrest him and won't nobody see it. There won't be anybody there but just the disciples. He will go to the Garden of Gethsemane because he has a habit of going to pray there all night. He'll be there late. It'll be a place that's dark. It'll be late. There'll be nobody there. And I'll even walk up and kiss him on the cheek where you'll be sure not to miss him because it'll be dark. And the Bible says that they were happy and they covenanted and they agreed that, hey, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. And they made him, hey, he craved some attention, maybe, among other things, but they gave him a little attention. Man, you're the man. You have come in here with a plan, and they must have made him feel pretty important. Judas maybe had already decided when Jesus talked about going to the cross, this ain't going to end well for us. I'm going to get what I can get and get out of it. And they say, hey, here's the 30 pieces of silver. You're going to be the hero among the people here in Jerusalem, the powers that be. You know, you are a hero. Hey, it made him feel good. And then the Bible says he had buyer's remorse. He had second thoughts when he really realized, oh, what have I done here? What have I done? And so he feels bad about it. And the scripture says he actually repented himself. You know, it means he knows he's done a bad deed. He did not. The new friends that he had now didn't seem that important. So he goes back with the money and he says, hey, I got second thoughts about this after he betrayed the Lord. He said, the fame, the recognition, I don't feel good about this. I want out of this. I'm going to take back what I told you about him. And they said, see thou to it. What's that to us? They had no time for him. They ate him up and spit him out. Used him. That's what the world system will do for people. And tragically, the Bible says that he went and hanged himself and cast down the 30 pieces of silver. He tried to conform to the world system there who wanted to crucify Jesus. Then promised him a lot of things, no doubt they promised him. Wouldn't you have liked to have saw that meeting and how happy? So they were glad. They're sitting there struggling. How can we make a plan to get in? And then he walks. In the door comes Jesus. Hey, buddy. You're the man. Here's the silver. And then when he comes back as a broken, miserable man, they say, what's that to us? See thou to it. They didn't care. The world cares nothing about you. The world system will chew you up, spit you out. Spit you out. Broken. But the love of God, Jesus will take you back. Judas didn't seek repentance to the Lord. He repented himself and went and hanged himself. What a tragic end. That need not be the end of anybody today. Jesus is merciful, and the dangers of trying to blend in gets people in broken lives. It's happened to many a Christian young man and woman, even older men and women. It's happening to adults today. People, you see, those who are in public life having failures and all this, you know, trying to blend in, trying to get along with the world. There is a warning about it. Do not get caught up in trying to blend into this world. It will not bring you peace. Peace comes from those whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Don't get caught into this present world system. The world system, I'm talking about the people, popular cultures, the manner of thinking, you know, how they want to control the way you think. It's in rebellion to the authority of God. Resist it. Do not conform to it. You must resist this today. And you can do it. The Word of God doesn't just tell us, just do something and not tell you how to do it. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You can know. You may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by keeping your mind on things above and heavenly things. I pray that everybody today here is saved. If you are not, you need to be saved. That's first and foremost. And if you're here today and you've got caught up in trying to blend into the world, trying to play both sides, and we can't do that. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You really can't. You know, it'll leave you broken. It'll leave you broken. This world system will chew you up and spit you out. They don't care about you anyhow. They don't care about you. Why do they not like us? Because we are not of the world, but of Jesus. Don't get caught up in trying to blend into the world. A word of warning to all of you. Brother Danny, I want you to come today with a song. If you're here today, you have a need. If you've not been saved, we want to tell you about the love of Jesus. Jesus died that you could be saved, you know, that you wouldn't be a part of the world, that you could be one of His, you know, that you could have a citizenship in heaven and live here, even have a dual citizenship. Still living in this world, you can still function. You can still play baseball. You can still pitch in the World Series and keep your mind on heavenly things. You can have a life. God wants you to have a life. He wants our young people to grow up and to be prosperous. But He don't want you to conform to this world. That battleground will be played in your mind. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll stay your mind upon Him. Let's stand together today. If you're here and you have a spiritual need, you need to be saved, we invite you to come. if you want to unite with this church, if you need to come and rededicate your life, if God is speaking to you today, we invite you to come. Shall we sing? Just